sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Là, on est rendu à épisode 161. Peeping around corners. I said, peeping around corners. And it goes a little something like this. I make big money. Sorry, that made me laugh. Okay, sorry. Hold on. I make big money. I drive big cars. Everybody knows me. It's like I'm a movie star. But late at night, something ain't right. I feel like I'm being tailed by the same sucker's headlight. Is it the fool that I ran off the block? Or is it that nigga last week that I shot? Or is it that one I beat for $5,000? Thought he had cane, but it was gold metal flower. Sorry, I'm chuckling. Reach under my seat. Grab my popper for the suckers. Ain't no use to me lying. I was scarier than a motherfucker. Hooked a left into Popeyes and bailed out quick. If it's going down, let's get this shit over with. Here they come, just like I figured. I got my hand on the motherfucking trigger. What I saw make your ass start giggling. Three blind, crippled, and crazy senior citizen. I live by the sword. I take my boys everywhere I go because I'm paranoid. I keep looking over my shoulder and peeping around corners.
Message!
My mind's playing tricks on me. Hey, welcome. Welcome. Bienvenue. I am not episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka La Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. All right, before I start the show, this is the parental advisory for you white folks. This podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and weighs a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who answer yes to the question,
are you an outcast?
I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Those who know, who know. Those who know, know. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on March 31st, 2024. The day before April Fool's Day. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right, like I can't stress this enough. This podcast is a safe space for black people like me. All right, I don't want to hear no shit in the comment section. All right, bear with me as I clean my glasses. And I'm considering getting laser eye surgery because, All right, okay. All right, I'm trying to get this show started, even though tomorrow's a holiday for some of us. before I start, just to help you new listeners get familiarized with my podcast, I like to break down my shows into three parts. The first part, parts, but I prefer to call them acts, if you will. First act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the final act is guess. Any guess? All right, final thoughts. Now, in the intro, so far in the intro, I've played the theme. Told you the title of today's episode. Recited some poetry, which is going to both the title and today's poetry will relate to the final thought. Will somehow relate to the final thought. And, it's meant to, like, you know, just, you know, it's what you came here for, the final thoughts. And, I started with what's the word? Parental advisory? But what's the advisory you give to viewer discretion advised? That was everything you heard after that was a greeting plus a viewer discretion advised type of shit. You know, just to help you get familiar with, you know, kind of the kind of journey you're about to get on that you just embarked on. And last thing I like to do in the intro is sometimes read a quote. And today's quote, I'm gonna read the whole thing. I shout out to my therapist for sending this to me. But who's it? The author's name is Audrey Kitchen, and it goes: Forgive yourself for not knowing better at the time. Forgive yourself for giving away your power. Forgive yourself for past behavior. And this next part was underlined by my therapist. Forgive yourself for the survival patterns and trait you picked up while enduring trauma. Cut it out, fellas. Cut it out. Okay. And forgive yourself for being who you needed to be. Powerful. Powerful. And the more this thing's been marinating in my mind, and it's been making more and more sense. With that said, now we are ready to go to use a random thoughts. Okay? Hope you guys are ready. Strap up, buckle up, and let's do this. All right, let's go. All right. Okay. The show must go on, so let me get organized. All right, step one. Now, if I was a normal person, if I was like everyone else, I would just start out with, yes, I know that it's Easter, but I don't celebrate Easter. But nope, this is my goddamn podcast, so I gotta say it the way I wanna say it, and it's fuck Easter. Fuck Easter as a staff. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I could be sensitive to the belief of Christians. But now I'm like, yeah, we got to find a middle ground. So what I'm saying is, I know if you're a Christian and you're like, yeah, it's Easter, and you start this podcast with me going, fuck Easter, I imagine I'm going to hurt your feelings. And, I guess I haven't figured out the compromise yet between speaking my truth and all the feelings that come with it. And respecting your boundaries. But with that said, you're on my podcast, so tough. I think, this should be a... So again, if you're new to this podcast, I have a segment called Church Ratchetness. And Church Ratchetness is a segment that I dedicate to talking shit about the church. I should mention that I'm a preacher's kid. And some preachers' kids have kids out of wedlock. I talk shit about the church. Now, for those of you who might be part of the Black Guy Who Tips community and are telling themselves, wait, what the fuck? Church ratchetness? That sounds a lot like sword ratchetness. Man, you just bit from them. You just stole a segment from them. And this is where I intervene. I object and say, look, it's not you. They have sword ratchetness. I have church ratchetness. And they're McDonald's. I'm McDowell's. So please, let's not start any shit that doesn't need to be started. All right? Okay. Yeah, with that said, so yeah, this would be church. This would be my little church ratchetness, because I know today is Easter. And I wasn't going to say anything, but oh, right, this next clip that I'm about to said, that I'm about to share is where, is why I'm like on this fucking, I felt the need to like jump in there. Look, getting back to church ratchetness, the reason I have this segment is because I, this is what happens when you force your kids into a religion that they don't want to be part of. But I think for me, the final straw, if I am an ex-Christian, the final straw for me was when Christianity felt less like a relationship with God, and it felt more like a fairy tale or brutal enslavers, or vicious, brutal, savage, barbaric enslavers. It was a fairy tale they gave us to keep us in check. Kind of like the Santa Claus. Santa Claus. So that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you know, it stopped being a relationship. It just felt more like a bullshit story that was made up so that I, so white people could feel safe around me. All right. Okay. So I got that out the way. But this is really what triggered today's fuck Easter thought. It's
31st every year. And Easter changes every.
Sorry. Okay. Let me back up. All right. So Caitlyn Jenner couldn't keep her fucking mouth shut. Now, I want to be. No. Caitlyn Jenner is a human being I dislike. On my list of people I do not like, it's Caitlyn Jenner. And I'm going to play this clip, and I will, like, if you don't know, I mean, oh my God, you're on the wrong podcast if I have to explain it to you. But yeah, this explain it to me well. Yeah, here we go.
Caitlyn Jenner is calling out Joe Biden for proclaiming tomorrow, Easter Sunday, as the Transgender Day of Visibility. But to be clear, Transgender Day of Visibility was founded in 2009. It is March 31st every year. And Easter changes every year, but this year it just happens to fall on March 31st. Here's a screenshot from PFLAG.org explaining the origins of Transgender Day of Visibility. This is the proclamation on Transgender Day of Visibility for 2024 from the White House. It's dated as being written on March 29th, but in the proclamation it explains that March 31st is the Transgender Day of Visibility. This is the one from last year, which was written on March 30th, but also explains that March 31st is the day that they celebrate. Here it is in the article. It says March 31st, but a lot of people, including Caitlyn Jenner, are still calling out Joe Biden. Caitlyn is a trans woman, but she shared a tweet. She says, "I am absolutely disgusted that Joe Biden has declared the most holy of holy days, a self-proclaimed devout Catholic, as Transgender Day of Visibility. The only thing you should be declaring on this day is he is risen. I am also Catholic and I celebrate Easter, but I also support trans rights. But again, Transgender Day of Visibility has been on March 31st since 2009. It just so happens that Easter falls on the same day this year. Let me know your thoughts."
You know, I was trying to think how, if I was still Christian, how I would have explained it to Caitlyn Jenner. But you know what? No, instead I'm going to, me as I am today, the reason why I resent people like Caitlyn Jenner is because she's one of those people. She's a trans woman, right? And instead of being an ally with her own or people like her, she's like, middle finger to you people. Pull yourself. And that behavior is not unique to her. Black people do it. Women do it. It's like, you know what? I think I grew up with. And that's funny. This is an interesting thing. Even though I'm an ex-Christian, but some of the values that I've held on to is holding it down for your community. Holding, you know, and I say, you know, when you're out of town, represent your ground. Like, being part of a community. Shout out to my pops. He was big on that idea. And, you know, I do for you, you do for me. We work out. You can't, no man is an island. You know, like in hip-hop, how snitching is wrong? For me, that behavior, the one of, yo, I mean, yo, fuck it, I'm on the top of this mountain, fuck, I made it through the door, now I'm gonna close the door on you people. It's like the immigrant who comes to, let's say, a country like Canada, and then all of a sudden they're anti-immigration, knowing fully well there are people back home who could benefit from what they've benefited from. That kind of human beings, I can't fuck with, man. It drives me nuts. You know, and you know, I hate Caitlyn Jenner for being a white person. That's what I'm saying, man. It's like, it's me. That's what the world's all, and whatever, man. Sorry. I feel like I'm getting into a territory where I'm starting to say things about her that she should be able to defend herself on, but, you know, but yeah, it just drives me nuts. Yeah, with that said, this whole trying to act like, yeah, I'm persecuted as a Christian, bitch. I'm calling her a bitch. Bitch. The reason why we need days of visibility is to remind us that, hey, our siblings in the transgender community need to be recognized as human beings. Like, it's a fucking reminder because some people just don't get it. Anyways, I'm going to move away from this. It's, yeah. So I tied in. I went from fuck Easter to, is it happy? To acknowledging Transgender Day of Visibility. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Let me get, just to clear out my notes. Let me get this out the way. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Next one. Next item on the agenda is, by the way, I gotta tell you, I'm taking my time with today's podcast. I might go over, I might go short, but I'm just going to take my time with this news and random thoughts. Okay. Because a lot of these things are shit that I should have written in the comments section, but I couldn't get my mind to focus, so I'm saying it out loud. Now, this next one is Mayor Brandon Scott, ladies and gentlemen. As in, here, no, let me do it properly. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Brandon Scott. Yay! Now, homeboy is about to show. See, on the last podcast, on the last episode, I talked about how white people are getting on my nerves with this whole DEI, how making treating DEI like the UN word, or blaming everything, you know, blaming their white men blaming their inability to get an erection on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Like, they blame anything on, you know, any possible way they can get to blame black people. Anyway, sorry. On the last episode, I was talking about how that bridge collapsed. And I mentioned how people have made this tragedy even worse by making it about, oh, yes, the reason why that bridge collapsed is because you hired an incompetent mayor to handle the situation, which is fully false. Anyways, I knew that there was a lot I could learn from people from someone like Mayor Brandon Scott when it comes to dealing with the backlash, white people using diversity, equity, and inclusion as a way to insult black people. And homeboy said something perfect on Joy. No, actually, before I play the clip, I have to make one quick correction about the last episode. Because I care about what people think about me. On the last episode, I joked about how I was surprised that, you know, when I first heard the news of a ship hitting the bridge, and in my mind, I'm laughing at myself defending myself. I joked about how, you know, in my mind, bridges are made to, like, handle, you know, fucking, like, if I drive my car into the high speed, the thing that holds up the bridge, I don't expect that shit to crumble, whatever, right? But apparently what I was missing was, yeah, the ship, the car, it wasn't just, no, it wasn't a boat. That shit was a cargo ship, no, container ship. And them motherfuckers are big. You have to understand, I'm from the city of Ottawa. The highest structure in our city is the parliament. So I'm not. It's when I go to big cities, I realize that, oh wow, we build big things. You know, we are capable of building dangerous things. Anyway, my point is, my bad. Yes, it makes sense that the, but in my defense, I think I was more thinking, okay, if a ship has that kind of capability of knocking down a bridge, you would think there'd be some safeguards to say, okay, you can't fucking travel near here, or some kind of, you know, protection to avoid this kind of things. But wait a minute. Anyway, yeah, I still stick by my point. I still still stick by my point. All right. All this long-ass setup. Now, sorry. I'm laughing at the idea that, now I'm laughing again at the idea that people heard my last episode and heard what I said about the bridge, even though a lot of it was meant to be humor. But I got self-conscious about people hearing it and go, but boats are big, man. That's why the bridge collapsed. You know, yeah, I know that now. Okay. All right. Now, take it away, Brother Mayor Brandon Scott, with a strong clap back. Okay, here we go.
I will allow you, Mayor Scott, if you choose to do so, to respond to the tomfoolery and attacks on you for having the nerve to be black and also a mayor.
Well, I think, listen, I know, and we all know, and you know very well, that black men and young black men in particular have been the boogeyman for those who are racist and think that only straight, wealthy white men should have a say in anything. We've been the boogeyman from them since the first day they brought us to this country. And what they mean by DEI, in my opinion, is duly elected incumbent. We know what they want to say, but they don't have the courage to say the N-word. And the fact that I don't believe in their untruthful and wrong ideology, and I am very proud of my heritage and who I am and where I come from, scares them. Because me being at my position means that their way of thinking, their way of life, of being comfortable and suffering, and while everyone else suffers, is going to be at risk. And they should be afraid, because that's my purpose in life.
You must learn.
There you have it. Couldn't have said it any better. Their way of thinking is dying. Yeah, you know what? I'm reminding myself that a lot of these racist white folks out there, like, they're getting reckless these days. I kind of blame my upbringing, because I was, you know, grew up with white people, and they've reassured me that, no, that racism shit, no, we're cured from it. We're doing better. We're a lot better now. And then when racism shit happens, it, like, always catches me. I hate when it catches me off guard. For my own mental health, it's better for me to expect. White people saying racist shit. But with that said, I love how this brother has, like, a sense of knowledge of self. Like, I see them coming. I know they're gonna come. I know they're gonna they're gonna question my qualification. They're gonna question my ability. But in the end, ain't shit I could do about that. Let them hate. And I applaud them for that, man. Yeah. So, another.
You must learn.
Yeah. This should probably be a segment called You Must Learn. Shit I should know. All right. Okay, this piece of news. Okay, I was going to skip this piece of news. And I explained why. Okay, first of all is, I just discovered this content creator. His name is Addison Pierre Malouf. And his street name, internet name, is The Arab or Arab. Let me read this. This showed up on my timeline, and I have some thoughts. And it goes, breaking. Barbecue Haiti's most powerful man has kidnapped Addison Pierre Malouf, an American YouTube star in Haiti, while attempting to meet and interview the gang leader. Just 24 hours after he arrived in the country, Malouf and a Haitian colleague were taken by members of the 400 Mawozo. Okay, I'm trying to pronounce this in, yeah, I'm pronouncing it in French. Mawozo gang on March 14th. Oh, wow. He's being held for a $600,000 ransom, and even though $40,000 has already been paid, the kidnappers are continuing to demand a large sum of money to secure Malouf's release, the Haitian outlet reports. His nickname, Arab, has been kept in a cage in a place on the eastern outskirts of the capital of Port-au-Prince. Rutledge wrote. Okay. All right. Who is this person who wrote this shit? Anyway, okay, let me go back to this. Okay. So this tweet came out March 20, was posted March 29. Now, lucky for me, you know, I tend to review my tweets. I review the look. First thing I was gonna say when I heard the news was, "Shit, qu'est-ce qu'il faut yo?" For all my non-Haitians, is like, man, who the fuck sent you to Haiti in the first place? But I didn't know shit about this guy, and I'm kind of gonna keep it that way. Okay, on one end, I'm gonna go positive and negative. On one end, it's I think he's trying, this content creator, he's on the side of Vice. Oh, so maybe I should say that apparently he's been released. Apparently he's been released, and the details about what happened to him, apparently some other gang kidnapped him, and Barbecue actually called in and said, y'all, nigga, you got to let him out. This is bad for business. I'm paraphrasing, right? But apparently the latest news is he's been released, and he's saying that Barbecue had nothing to do with it. Actually, he actually helped him in his release. Whatever, those are the story. Now, I got curious about this guy because I think what he's doing is like the news that the news mainstream media can't get you. Like, here's an idea because I can't do it, right? But a younger me would have done this. First, you find yourself with someone who's got a lot of juice, you know, respect in the street. So basically, you can go into places that you can't go, that other people can't go. And then, I'm saying, look, imagine a fight in the club, right? And then and then this dude comes in and says, okay, this is why these two were fighting over a chick. Over, no, this was over drug real estate. Oh my God, he's down with the Barksdale. You know what I mean? You know, someone who can give you the street, the news frame straight from the street. Problem with doing that is, technically, that'd be snitching. But it would be, I guess I'm saying, there's things that the news can tell you about, and then there's things the streets can tell you about. Does that make sense? And I think the world could profit from get a report. Problem is, how do you know when they're telling you the truth and not telling you what someone who recently put a gun to their head told them to say? Yeah, Barbecue. Oh, yeah, he released me. Yeah, he's good people. Anyway, yeah, okay. So where am I going with this? Oh, right. So I was curious about the guy until I saw his tweet that he put out talking about how he's released. And then he said this old fuck shit. He goes, you don't pray to a rainbow flag. He was saying, how he's grateful to God that he's been released during Easter. And he says some shit like, you don't pray to a rainbow flag. You pray to a God. You pray to God. Motherfucker. See what I mean? And you know what? My other red flag about this guy is how, what's his name? This content creator. I forget his name, but he's part of the manosphere. Basically, shitty credibility. Yeah, it fucks with your credibility when people like that are backing you or your spokesperson. So all this to say that homie's got a good concept, but problem is I can't trust the words that are coming out of his mouth. I don't trust. Yeah, he's got a good concept. Problem is he doesn't have the right credibility. It's like opening a bank, but no one trusts you, but you got a reputation of you got a huge gambling debt. Say, your credibility shot, homeboy. Anyways, this is the part where I wish him success, but I'm like, yeah, nah, fuck that. I'm not a fan of yours, bro. Yeah. Oh, all this was just because I thought he was still gonna be kidnapped. And as a fellow Haitian who's well aware of the kidnapping in Haiti, I'm like, shit, nigga, fuck, I could, man, what the fuck? But it would be cool if I had that kind of, I wish I had that kind of, like, pull with the gangs in Haiti. Enough to be like, hey, let me hear your side. But enough to be like Shannon Sharp kind of interview. Let's hear your side. What do you want the world to know? And, yeah, take it from there. Problem is, if they say shit that incriminates them, then they're going to blame me. And I'm 2 hours away from Montreal. All right, okay. Next one is, okay, you know what? I should have done some research. Oh, Punjabi hip-hop. This is going to be the second time I play. He's Punjabi? I thought he was Indian. Okay, oh, well, there goes my racism. All right, now I'm going to play. There's a clip going viral on the internet of this homeboy rapping. And I'm just going to play it. I'm just going to play it and see if you feel what I feel, okay? But all I know is homeboy reminded me of what I love about hip hop. So here we go. ਕਰਨਾ ਮੁਕਾਬਲਾ ਤਾਂ ਪੂਰਾ ਰੱਖੀ ਦਮ ਹੱਡੀਆਂ ਵਖਾ ਕੇ ਕਿੰਨਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਨੀ ਕੰਮ ਕਦੇ ਪਿੰਦੇ ਸੁੱਟਾ ਆਪਾਂ ਕਦੇ ਪਿੰਦੇ ਰੰਗ ਕਦੇ ਪਿੰਦੇ ਸੁੱਟਾ ਆਪਾਂ ਕਦੇ ਪਿੰਦੇ ਰੰਗ ਕਰਨਾ ਮੁਕਾਬਲਾ ਤਾਂ ਪੂਰਾ ਰੱਖੀ ਦਮ ਹੱਡੀਆਂ ਵਖਾ ਕੇ ਕਿੰਨਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਨੀ ਕੰਮ ਕਦੇ ਪਿੰਦੇ ਸੁੱਟਾ ਆਪਾਂ ਕਦੇ ਪਿੰਦੇ ਰੰਗ ਕਦੇ ਪਿੰਦੇ ਸੁੱਟਾ ਆਪਾਂ ਕਦੇ ਪਿੰਦੇ ਰੰਗ ਰੈਡ ਡੋਟ ਲਾਏ ਮੱਥੇ ਮਾਰਦੇ ਆ ਸ਼ਾਟ ਗਾਣੇ ਸੁਣ ਸਕ I don't know what homie's saying, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's just saying some, talking about whatever, whatever. He's just rapping as opposed to dropping the N-word. But I guess what I liked about it, what I like about this moment is how, I don't know what he was saying, how he was, but I do know, I understood the flow and all his boys behind him bobbing their heads, flowing to the beat, and reciting the same shit that he's saying. Like, it's a beautiful moment in, it's a rare moment in hip-hop, not a rare moment in hip-hop, but more like, yeah, it's a rare moment in hip-hop that I haven't felt in a while. It reminds me that someone on the internets was asking the question, what's your favorite verse by Tupac? And I was scrambling. There's so many verses. See, the thing with Tupac, it's not just the verse, but it's more the impact of his verse. It's less about the fact that he would put clever rhymes together, double entendre, like Jay-Z, whatever, like the other guys. No, he just says shit that explodes on contact. But what I ended up saying was, what I ended up going was his first verse, that verse he dropped on the track Same Song by Digital Underground. Because I remember it was the first time I was exposed to Tupac. And hearing that verse, and it made me curious about the rest of what else does this rapper have? You know, I'm just talking about brief moments in hip-hop that I haven't felt in a while. That's it. Sort of part of the segment. But speaking about Tupac, I'm going to play this clip, and it's because Tupac, I'll read the caption. Okay, well, comes from Tupac Unlimited, a Twitter account I follow. And the caption goes, Tupac breaks down the true story behind Brenda's Got a Baby during his first 1992 BET interview on video LP with Sherry Carter. I don't know her. What did you think of this song? Brenda's Got a Baby? Shit, it was deep. The first time I heard it, I didn't recognize it for the tragedy he was explaining. But here we go. Here's what he says.
I was reading New York Post when I was doing the movie Juice, and it was this story. It started out to be this big story about this family who died because they didn't have heat and they left the gas on. Everybody died except for this girl. She moved in with her cousins, second cousins. She started dating her second cousin. He got her pregnant. Nobody noticed she was pregnant. She had it. I was like, dang. And it was over a week. But the story kept getting smaller, smaller, and smaller. And I was like, this is, like, very important.
Nobody talks about that. No young black males, no black males talk about black females like we should. We need to take more responsibilities for our sisters, because if we don't, who will?
There we go. 2 points. The first one is I didn't realize Brenda, like, I've always wondered Brenda Had a Baby was based on a reality, or was this fiction? And turns out it was based on a reality. And Brenda Got a Baby makes me think of the many tragic stories that go on in that part of the world. And some of them aren't reported. It's just between a few people. Second point, and this is the last part that he says in the interview, is how we black men don't talk about that kind of stuff. Don't make it a big deal. Or we don't make it a... See, what I didn't realize about Brenda Has a Baby... See, yeah, initially when Pac was talking about Brenda Got a Baby, I thought, is he preaching about, yeah, you need to give a fuck about our sister? No, that's not how... No. I can't remember. But I didn't take it the way it was intended to be taken. But this interview confirms it. It was him, his attempt to say, look, we talk about the struggles of black men being pulled over by the cops, dealing with these chick-ass bitches and all that. We talk about a lot about that in hip-hop. But rarely do we talk about the shit that our sisters go through. Now, granted, Pac wasn't perfect. I'm gonna underline, he wasn't perfect. Sometimes he was preaching to the women, but that's but you know, but I'm thinking this bare minimum of accomplishment of the whole, yo, being serious about we gotta look out for our sisters. And look out for our sister doesn't mean telling them what they should wear, who they should date, how they should be. It's, yo, it's listening, paying attention to, yo, paying attention to the struggles they go through. There's a movie out, actually, what's the name of that woman who does Parking Lot Pimpin'? I forget, but she recently did a segment about Shirley Chisholm. And, oh my gosh, she went in deep. And there's a quote by Shirley Chisholm. She says, yo, man, but fucking running for president made me realize that it was harder to be a woman than it is to be black. And I remember the first time I heard that, I'm like, oh, how dare you say that? Nothing could be harder than being black. But at the time, I was oblivious to the struggles women go through. If we got it bad, they got it worse. So I was used to, I grew, you know, I'm a member of the church, as a full-fledged member of the cult of masculinity. Toxic, like, I embraced that shit. I was used to ignoring the struggles, the pain, the gripes of women. I'm trying to see if I wrote anything. Yeah, this is what I mean by leaving the cult of masculinity. Yeah, I remember thinking about, I don't know, I remember watching, this was probably after the St. Louis protest for Michael Brown, and looking at a newspaper cover or maybe a magazine, or I don't know, I might have been online, and I remember noticing this black woman who was like on the front line of the protest near the cops, and just like, no peace, no justice, all that, right? And I remember noticing how two things. One is she was on the fucking front line. I'll admit to you, man, I've been to protesters. You know where I am? Near the back. Nowhere near the cops. One, because I'm a fat dude, and, you know, if it's going to come down to running, I'm going to need a head start. Two, I'm not a courageous guy. But what I'm getting at with this joke is every struggle, everything we've been through, black women have been at the forefront. And we take that shit for granted. It's like, okay, we got another protest. You bitches coming or what? And I remember thinking about, like, Trayvon Martin, all of them. There's always been, like, usually the organizers were, like, black women. Black women. And if they're not organizing it, then they're at the forefront giving hell to these cops. Showing more bravery than I have. And I started to think, when was the last time you took part in an issue that only affected women, or specifically black women? I've never been to a pro-choice rally, or never been vocal about it. Anyway, I'm just saying, I like the fact that Pac was like, y'all, fellas, come on, he's speaking out on it. His mama raised him right. All right, you know, as I'm thinking this, I remember I can't stop thinking. The last time I made that point with black people, and it's one black dude. Fuck, actually, one black dude and it's one black woman. Like, dissed me for it. Like, they were. I don't. Okay, well, the black dude, he went from 0 to 100. Oh, fuck. You know what I think happened? I think he's probably like in the middle of playing an exorbitant amount of child support. Against like, his baby mother is a black woman, and she took him to the cleaners. And when he thinks black woman, he thinks of his baby mom. So when he read my post, he said, yo, we need to give credit to his baby mom. That dude ripped into me, man. I'm like, It freaked me out. I thought I was just making a point that we would all agree with. And homeboy ripped into me for that shit. And, you know, I could have tolerated that, but it's another black woman who I know. And I guess she's, maybe it's because she's raising sons and she's aware of the, you know, the evil that men do, the evil that women do, that some women do. Like, I don't deny, when it comes to shitty people, evil people, gender is like, it could be men or women. But I am saying, I do not deny misogyny is a real fucking thing. I don't deny that black men, as a whole, as a collective, every once in a while tend to take black women for granted when it comes to the struggle. Shit, watch Selma. Watch the movie Selma to get a better idea. Selma is like a focus on the contribution by women to the civil rights movement. Anyways, all right. Yes, where am I? Yeah, I'm doing good on time. All right, now I'm going to play this next one. And this brother is about to say something that I've been having difficulty to articulate, but I'm just going to play it. And it goes, and I'm going to, I titled it, An Answer to Why Dudes Paint Their Nails. Here we go.
Can somebody please explain to me why dudes my age are just painting their nails all of a sudden? I don't.
Hi, I'm going to try to make this quick because I have to go out to a party. He goes on further in the video to say that if he were to go home to his father, who was from the 1950s, he would be put out of the house for having his nails painted, which is incredibly wild to hear. My father is also from the 1950s and black, and raising a non-binary kid, which was probably like a really weird time, and I'm also gay, so like imagine. It's not about the nails, it's about the mindset. The mindset is that whenever you do something that is remotely girly when you are a male, it makes you somewhat weak, and that means you think poorly of women. You get it? Mm-hmm. It's like when men put on dresses and then the immediate thing is, well, you're less of a man then. What does that say when you think that way, when you immediately go, because you have that on, you're less of a man, or it makes you effeminate, or it makes you anything other than what we perceive a male to be? And also, femininity isn't weakness. They push out literal children out of their bodies and make them, while still dealing with the bullshit that is men. You have got to, like, do a little research. I get it. You didn't say anything crazy in this video, so, like, we're fine. And, like, there were some moments where you said you would do, you wouldn't want to put that your mother through that. Your mother would probably love that. Having someone in the house who could relate to what she had to go through, and also relate to having like beautiful moments where she had to take care of her body and like herself. But that's neither here nor there. People get their nails painted nowadays because it's easier to be yourself, because it's more in the news and more people have enough bravery to come out. And hopefully they are able to educate people who somehow think that having these things on their fingernails, because they're just hands, literal tools to eat and build and work with to make them pretty and like brighten their day. That's literally what it is. But yeah, I hope to help with explain common fucking sense.
The bottom line to the question to why dudes paint their nails, because motherfucker, they can. But that's not what I want to address. What I want to address is misogyny is a thing, fellas. And I'm you know what? I believe it's at the core. When you think of the definition of being a man, of the modern day definition, standard definition of being of masculinity, is treating women like is hatred for women. It's treating femininity as a weakness, as no, you're here to serve me. I'm the main actor, you're the side chick, the sidekick. I remember, okay, someone on in the HSP, I was going to make it a topic, in the highly sensitive person, community, subreddit, asked the question, fuck, how did it go? What was your journey as a man, what was your journey as being highly, as a highly sensitive person? And initially, I was going to break it down to, yo, it was so impactful that if I were to, like, break down my life, oh, my God. Okay, it's kind of a reflection of this podcast. If I were to break down my life, I'd break it down into two parts, kind of like before Christ, after Christ, but in my case, it would be before recognizing being comfortable with being a highly sensitive person, and after being comfortable with a highly sensitive being a highly sensitive person. So during my before phase, I meant to respond to it. Before my before phase, it doesn't matter. But during my before phase, I was in denial about the fact that my personality trait was being a highly sensitive person. I was in denial about that shit, which makes it worse. I thought being a highly sensitive person was bad. No, being in denial of it is what's bad. It's what's dangerous, what needs to get addressed. But that's not here or there. But I remember towards the final chapter, when I was getting closer to being, oh shit, okay. When I was closer to getting to the point of, okay, of A, learning about being a highly sensitive person, and B, accepting it, and C, and realizing that there's nothing wrong with it. So during those final moments, I remember reaching a point in my life where I was like, I give up trying to be. So again, I wasn't aware of being a highly sensitive person, but I remember reaching a point where I said, I give up trying to be a real man. Fuck it. The world could go fuck themselves. I give up trying to live up to this universal definition of being a man. Fuck you. You're no longer dissing me by saying, oh, you fro like a girl. Oh, well, thank you. It's no more, I'm no longer treat you're not a real man as an insult. It's more, okay, you believe that? Then we don't really need to be friends. You're nothing about you says you deserve to be some kind of mentor. Or no, even more, you're a fucking idiot. Anyone who says shit like that, oh, because you do this, you're not a real man. So I gave up. It's like I took off the shackles. I'm like, fuck it. That's what I mean when I gave up the church of cult. I gave up the cult of masculinity. I left the cult. I'm treating it like a cult. I'm like, fuck it, I'm out. Okay, I'm trying to be my own self. I'm trying to live life by my own terms. If it means being called a bitch, then so fucking be it. I was comfortable with that. Now, when I was finally in that phase, that's when I was open to, my mind was like a blank page. I was willing to learn things. I was willing to unlearn shit, reevaluate things. And I remember, what kills me is, I forget this content creator's name, but he was explaining how at the core, he was making a post about transgender visibility. That wasn't the title of the post, but it was essentially, hey, transgender people are people, or human beings. Trans lives matter. Especially black trans lives matter. While he was making that point, there was something he said that struck me, and he goes, at the core of your transphobia is misogyny, is your hatred for women. And it exploded something. Like, I was ready to finally understand that. And I'm like, yeah, why is it that a woman could, she could imitate, you know, wear men's clothing, she'll probably get called a tomboy. But a man does any attempt, wear a dress, does something that usually associated to women, it's a failure on his part. Whether it's wear a dress, paint his nails, or be highly sensitive, cry when he gets emotional, not like violence. You know what I mean? Like shit that, growing up in the 90s, they really, okay, boys are boys. You play with these toys, girls play with these toys. Ain't no mixing. You start mixing, something's wrong with you. Anyway, so let me get back to, when I started to realize that a lot of the definition of being a man is simply just hating women. Not hating having sex with them, is hating everything but having sex with them. When I realized that, that's when I was like, oh, shit was clear. That was when I finally understood, okay, I get it now. This masculinity thing is bullshit. Not only is it bullshit, but it works to our disadvantage. Fuck. The easiest example I could use is, yo, the folks who created Axe Body Spray, yeah, they played us, folks. They fucking played us. Some capitalistic shit. It's yeah. You want to get better with these bitches? You want to be a real man? Here, use the spray. Trust me, I used the shit. I used that spray. Didn't help me get chicks. Even if it did, it doesn't comp. That spray doesn't compensate for a shitty personality. But anyways, yeah, no. Getting back to what I was saying, why men, why dudes paint their nails? Cause asshole, they fucking can. And as a matter of fact, I consider them more gangster than you are because they have decided to live life by their own fucking terms. Whoa, man, my blood pressure's getting high. All right, okay. Okay, all right. Now, I'm easily triggered. But it's my goddamn podcast. I allow myself to do that shit. All right, okay. Now, I'm going to play what I call a hot political take. And I'm going to label this as I'm a dreamer, okay? Hearing this reminded me that I'm just a dreamer. All right, so take it away, sir.
What is your hottest political take?
It's entirely possible to provide food, clothing, shelter, housing, education, and medical care for every human being on the planet without fighting a war or ripping anybody off or handing over control of yourself to someone else.
I completely agree. That's a good one. And it shouldn't be controversial to say that.
But it sure as shit is.
I was like, that is such a, to me, that's a New Yorker. Like,
all right, I'm just going to stop there. But because I wanted to hear what the dude said. Shout out to the content creator. Her name is, or at least the account that this comes from is, well, I got to enlarge because I'm getting old. The Recount. Oh, interesting. Never heard of this. The Recount. Anyway, yeah. So she's got further commentary. I'm just sharing my own, but shout out to them for finding this clip. And I hear what he said, and yeah, it shouldn't be controversial. I say shit like that, and then I end it, but I'm a dreamer. Meaning, when I say shit like that, I'm surrounded by people, but the world doesn't work that way. Okay, fine. Let me fucking dream. Let me dream of a world that shit behaves like that. Like, imagine that. We got money for war, but can't feed the poor. Like, imagine billionaires had the same mindset as poor people. See, my parents, they grew up, see, I'm still unclear on whether they grew up poor, but they grew up with that mindset of, we're a community. We work together. We may not be rich, but we have each other. If I'm rich, then I look out for the rest of us. Now, sure. Every once in a while, someone takes advantage of that kindness. Yeah, that does bother me. And I understand that, you know, why should I work my ass off so your lazy ass can't do shit? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that there's people out there, there's someone out there going hungry. That's not right. Someone out there going hungry, and on the flip side, there's someone who's got way more money that they can spend in this lifetime. But they're going to pass it on to the kids. Like, imagine if I was going to say rich people had a sense of responsibility. You know, I think I'm generalizing, like, the 1%. Yeah, I'm trying not to generalize, okay? Also, I'm not trying to tell you what to do with your money. But if this, imagine we all had a mindset of, I look out for you, you look out for me. I'm not saying I want a charity case, but I mean, what the fuck? There are people who have excesses of money that... There are people who could solve world hunger in their bank account. I mean, sure, the logistics might be a pain in the ass, but I mean, greed. All right, okay, I'm watching, by the way, just off topic, I'm watching, it's related to what I'm saying, a show, a TV series called The Three Body Problem. I'm still trying to make sense out of the whole show. But there is a concept that got me. It's like, I was thinking about if an alien race, it has me thinking about if an alien race wanted to take over Earth, fuck, it'd be easy. Just side with the poor people because they're the majority. Just side with them. They'll gladly sell out the, yeah, man, here are the nuclear codes. I'll tell you what, audio the guy who provides security. Yeah, just side with the have-nots. Easiest way to take over planet Earth because the haves are outnumbered. But if you can guarantee me that, you know, you can take care of the police, then I'm on your side. I think what I'm trying to say is if an alien race were to take over humanity, I would side with the alien race. But if I was the haves, I'd probably, yeah, I'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. We got to stick together. Anyway, yeah, thank you, The Recount, and that gentleman for sharing his opinion and reminding me that I'm a dreamer. All right, okay. This concludes News and Random Thoughts. Finally, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed it myself. And let's jump to the final act, okay? All right, let's go. Still haven't figured out how to make use of that clip. All right, doesn't matter. Okay, all right, okay. What's up with today's title? Woo, man. Now, it's not that I have the time, but I don't know how to explain how I came about. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll just jump to it. How I went from, it was going to be one title, and I ended up with this. No, you know what happened? I'm getting better at curating my thoughts, organizing my thoughts, and realizing every once in a while I'll share something. Let's just say I'm getting better at presenting thoughts. Okay, so that's the first reason what's up with today's title. Okay, today's title, before I go into details, comes from the track by the Ghetto Boys called My Mind's Playing Tricks on Me. Shout out to you Ghetto Boys fan who are like, duh, who were reciting that verse at the same time with me. And the verse, the actual title comes from the song, but it comes from the verse by Willie D, which, by the way, is an underrated rapper, in my opinion. And in his verse, and he says the line, I take my boys everywhere I go because I'm paranoid. I keep looking over my shoulder, peeping around corners. Now, let's stick to the idea of peeping around, that line, peeping around corners. If this was a sermon, Mind Playing Tricks on Me would be a verse, it'd be a chapter in the Bible, and I'm asking you to remember that line, peeping around the corner. Remember that verse. Okay. Now, before I continue, I am going to play you a clip that inspired this choice, this choice of the verse. Okay. And here's hoping I make a miracle afterwards. So here we go. Okay. Bear with me. I have to hit rewind. Oh, wait. Had to hit refresh and then rewind.
Can we talk about hypervigilance for a minute? Hypervigilance is trust issues on steroids. And so when you have experienced certain types of trauma and uncertainty in your life, hypervigilance means that you are constantly assessing for potential threats. You are literally living your life waiting for the other shoe to drop. And what can happen is that can show up as self-sabotage when good things start to happen to you. So if you've been in a toxic relationship and now you're in a healthy relationship, or you had a toxic job and now you're in a healthy job, rather than accept and believe that good things can happen to you and that it's okay to let people befriend you and connect with you and love and care for you, anxiety and waiting for the other shoe to drop will try to force an outcome, because anxiety demands control and certainty and structure and guarantees. And so rather than live with the uncertainty of what could happen in the relationship, the anxiety will try to force an outcome so that you can maintain some semblance of control. And if you are willing to have a new experience with life, with relationship, and learn to do things like communicate your needs and ask for reassurance when you need it and give people the opportunity to love and care for you, you can, it takes time, but over time you can dispel the anxiety that comes with being hypervigilant and always waiting for the bad thing to happen. It's okay to let good things happen to you.
You're trying to get crazy, ese. Don't you know I'm loco? There you have it. Oh, wait, maybe I should mention the name of the content creator. Her name is Dr. Shanti Says on Instagram, Breaking Cycle of Self-Sabotage. And, I'm going to read the first paragraph in her caption. She goes, I want a community, but I don't trust people. I want a relationship, but I expect the person to leave. I want a new job, but I don't know why they chose me. I'm sure there's someone more qualified. I'm sure he, she likes me, but probably not enough to commit. I should just end it now. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Okay, all right, now. I think if I wanted to, if I were to make this a sermon, it'd be a sermon about dealing with the uncertainty of life, the uncertainties of life. Hence, peeping around the corner. It'd be the title I would use to, because I remember reading something, it was probably religious, probably theological, about when I was a Christian, and they were talking about dealing with your ability to look around the corner. Hence why I made the connection between Willie D's lyric and the concept of dealing with the uncertainties of life. Now, if I was making this into a sermon, I'd first start out with, of course, some jokes, whatever. Don't you hate it? No. And I'd have three strong examples of uncertainties of life. You know, go raw dog into some chick. And she calls you talking about, I'm pregnant. Fuck. you're about to try a new venture. You know, and which is normal, right? I mean, it's a part of life. The part that's different is how you respond, how you deal with those uncertainties. Now, here's the thing. I won't lie, man. When I first heard this clip, when I heard her talk about hypervigilance, I'm like, wait a minute, I recognize that word. Where have I heard this before? And it's a word that my therapist used. And I remember, I had a shower thought. I was literally in the shower. I wasn't thinking about the clip, but I was like, thinking it was a it snowballed into a clip, and it reminded me of at a moment where I was thinking about a certain frustration I might have with my therapist, and it's the realization that two things. First one is hypervigilance. Don't you hate it when they have a fucking word for a bit for something that you consider to be normal? Oh, you're being hypervigilant. No, I'm being me. I'm being normal. I mean, whatever. Two, the frustration comes from my brain is like, and by the way, this is a normal frustration, whatever. I'm not dissing her or these two professionals, but I remember thinking, my brain was like, yeah, you know what? Doesn't matter what they say. In the end, I got the final say. And that shit they say about there's a world outside of what I'm trying to protect you from is bullshit. Like, constantly saying, well, what if things might work out? What did she say at the end? She said, starting to believe in, instead of focusing on what can go wrong, focus on what can go right. And in my mind, I'm like, what the fuck? Isn't it safer to focus on what can go wrong? And what's wild is, as I'm dealing with that frustration, there's been a few examples that I've been noticing in my life about how I shortchanged myself by worrying about what can go wrong. Like, I fucked myself. And I got angry. Instead of getting angry at my method, I was angry at the person for putting me in that situation. You know what's funny? I'm not preaching. At least that's not my intention. But it looks like I'm preaching. Because, again, I got to remind you, on this podcast, you're not going to find solutions. I'm just a guy who thinking out loud, figuring things out for themselves. Because I'm about to say some shit. I don't like giving people advice, especially when I'm put in a situation where I got to practice that fucking advice. So I know I'm on one end, I understand what she's saying. I'm starting to understand the idea of, instead of focusing on what can go wrong, focus on what could go right. You know, I'm going to stall and go back to that verse by Willie D. In his case, yeah, he's got to focus on what could go wrong. He needs his paranoia. He can't be like, no, it's going to be a great day. That was that line. He goes, "Is it that fool last dude that I shot? Is this what's the line?" He goes, Yeah. Is it that fool that I ran off the block? Is it that nigga last night that I shot? Last week that I shot? Or is the one I beat for $5,000? Yeah, you know what? You can't be all positive about that shit. You gotta watch your back. You know, you got reason to, like, focus on, like, what can go wrong if I don't stay sharp? I'm gonna get my ass kicked. But, okay, getting back. Getting back. My brain is convinced that I'm living my... I need to be paranoid. Fuck this world. It's dangerous. You know, I'm thinking of... this fascinates the fuck out of me. That movie, again, three body problems. And there's a scene where... God damn it, China. I don't know if... I know it's not a spoiler. But... it's not a spoiler, but... Some smart-ass scientist from China broadcasts a message throughout space to say, hey, anyone out there? And, you know, trying to, you know, but it's a common theme. What is it? Battleship had that message. Or I think actually NASA is doing that shit. It's like they're broadcasting message saying, hey, anyone out there? And I'm like, what the fuck for? Africa would have been a better place if Europeans had never discovered it. And it's hard to believe. A lot of people are like, oh, no, come on. We brought you civilization. We brought you Christianity. Yeah, it became a better place for you crackers, but not for us. What I'm getting at is because of my history. Okay, I'm going to use my history as an excuse. Because of my history. I don't like broadcasting outside of the universe because there might be another Christopher Columbus, a UFO version of Christopher Columbus out there saying, oh, what? they haven't figured out this technology? Ah, man, these niggas are food. There's probably a race of predators out there going, what? Y'all ain't got, we making slaves out of these bitches. We raping their planet. Sorry, what I'm getting at is, for me, the idea of broadcasting out to the universe and saying, hey, anyone out there and expecting the best, it's kind of some bullshit. It's like, nah, man. I'm like Tony Stark's. We need to get Tony Stark before the Civil War. We need to get weapons ready. Fuck that. We want to be able to shake hands. I'm worried about a predator worse than the white man out there. That's what I'm getting at. If there's anything we should have learned from white people history is don't trust them niggas out there. I have this joke about how the reason alien races haven't talked to us is because of white people. They're like, yo, them crackers are crazy. Fuck that. Not to say that white people are the worst thing. I mean, human beings, we suck. Sorry, I was just watching a video of, well, it doesn't matter. We suck once we dehumanize each other. That's not where I'm going with this. But my point, okay, getting back to my example, hypervigilance. I think what bothers me is in my mind, being hypervigilant is normal. And then here I have these professional therapists saying, tone it down. And it's annoying because my brain is like, we ain't changed. Yo, fuck that. You're 49 years old. You can't teach a dog new trick. We ain't fuck that. She's trying to play you. She's trying to, okay, I've made another episode about that. Therapy has been feeling like, put your guards down. In my mind, it's like, nah, man, this fucking world is hostile. Keep your guard up. You know what's interesting? I'm realizing that I'm going to go back to, what was it, that quote that I read? It goes, forgive yourself for the survival patterns and traits you picked up while enduring trauma. Yeah, those trauma had me convinced that, yeah. And here's what sucks. This is what's even worse. The traumas I'm talking about are little T trauma, not capital T trauma. Capital T trauma is what people make movies about. The traumas I've been to is just put in a situation that a person with my character shouldn't have been put in. Like most, if I were to tell you my little T Trump to the general public, you'd be like, what? That's it? A spanking? That's what you're being a bitch about? But it was enough for me to be like, yeah, this world is dangerous. Watch your back. Stay on the sideline. Don't trust no one. Again, I'm not offering any solution. I'm just thinking out loud. But I am acknowledging there was two moments. I guess I should journal this shit. Two moments recently that happened to me. And it made me realize, ah, man, I played myself. Fuck, I should have bet on black. I mean, hindsight is 2020, but the, you know what? Okay, you can preach to me about start focusing on what can go right instead of what could go wrong, but that's all it'll be. You'll be preaching to me. But this mind, it's going to be a while before I let go of that habit. I guess this is the best I can get at is acknowledging that it will be a long time before I can, you know, protect your neck. I got to protect my neck. This world's dangerous. Yeah, I don't know how you convince some. I don't think you can. I think you can convince someone who spent most of their lives expecting for the next shoe to drop, who's been going through life protecting themselves that way, to be like, nah, focus on the good side. I'm like, hey, go fuck yourself. it's annoying being told that. It's because it's not that easy. It's you know what's discouraging? There's a chance as I podcast on this shit, I might go to my grave still being that guy who I don't trust shit. Big deal, you know? And you can write a book about me. See, here goes the lies of B Black, who made sure that he didn't go out like no sucker. You know, I like, okay, I'm going to make this my last point. The dream, the right side of your brain. Again, another topic I brought up on one of my podcasts, on one of my, it was an episode topic. I just can't remember the episode. Yeah, on that episode that I realized that when Dream says the right side of your brain, he wasn't meaning, sorry, the chorus goes, when you fall in love, you don't use the right side of your brain. And what he means is the side of your brain that keeps you vigilant. But no, that's what he means. But it's funny. You should have been there with the way I explained it. But that's, I'm realizing that's what love, like to be in a healthy relationship, both parties have to be willing to put their guards down. Like you have to have that kind of trust. Well, granted, it's not something you earn instantly. You got to build up to that shit. I get it. Maybe I should learn from my past mistakes. I grew up, adding to my list of resentment to the church. I grew up in an environment surrounded by elders who would force you to believe what I say, not what I do. Focus on my words. If I tell you I love you, then you need to believe it. Fuck the actions. If I tell you I'm the right for you, I'm the right person for you, you gotta fucking believe it. And then my dumbass went into the world using that same method. Don't trust your gut. Trust my words. So I get it. You know, it is kind of fucked up that how I managed to get myself. If I were to take responsibility for my action, I would realize, I would probably, that would probably be, put me on the road into being the kind of person who can trust what can go right. In a way, I'm kind of doing this with this podcast. Every release is, and I don't actively, a part of me when I release these episodes, when I do these podcasts, part of me, a small part of me, is focused on what can go right. Even though that small part of me is fucking quiet as fuck. But I do it. I still do it. You know, I'm stubborn. I'm stubborn about it. I'm using this concept of faith. It's interesting, right? How I started the episode about how I gave up on Christianity. But I still understand the concept of faith. I have faith in a blonde hair, blue eye cracker from Jerusalem. But the faith that every once in a while shit might go your way. You know, one last thought is, I know I said that one is going back to the whole Easter thing. When I was a Christian, I used to try to get beyond what these preachers wanted to be. Like I used to try to get to the core of the understanding. And what I knew about, for me, what Easter symbolized was promise kept. A promise kept. It's this nigga saying, yeah, I'm going to die, but I'm coming back. And that's what the celebration is all about. Nigga keeping his promise. Problem is, that story is a... Okay, even though I know that shit is a storytell, but I do know the value of celebrating, recognizing, acknowledging a promise kept. You know what I mean? I get it. So it's kind of like if there was a time... Oh, shit. I remember going through a heartbreak or going through some dark times, and I could not see the good, the better days. Could not get, but someone, you know, it helps when you have a friend that says, no, those better days are going to come when they remind you. You don't believe it, but you hold on to that belief. And then years comes and you're grateful that you did help hold on to it. So it's celebrating, acknowledging, celebrating that shit. Yeah, if I were to preach to you about Easter, that's what my message would be. Holding on to promise kept and promised kept, what's the other, and promise, not reveal, promise fulfilled. There we go. All right. Okay. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. What did I call it? Episode 161. Is it 161? Je mélange. Yeah. 161 peeping around the corner. Thank you for listening. As always, if you want to holler at me, you can find me on these social media apps. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, with the handle at Shut Up Podcast. On TikTok, it's at shutuppodcast.com. But no, seriously, no kidding aside. And actually, I would prefer it if you really want to holler at me on these internet streets, please go to shutuppodcast.com, the website. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast, going to the website and finding the RSS feed and plugging it into your favorite podcatcher. I'm being a nerd. Right? Or you can do like everyone else and go to some. I'm trying to tell you that you can go to any podcast directory to find me, but the problem is I'm not on every podcast directory. That's to be continued. That's still being worked on. But you don't need to hear all that shit. Again, I should also mention that show notes are available on the website. All the links that I've shared with you, discussed, sound clip you've heard, there's usually a link associated to it, and it's on the website. And yeah, man. Oh, and there's an extra section on the show notes called Other Links, and Other Links is just links that I think you might find interesting, cool, funny, or whatever, man. Yeah. All right. With that said, let me get organized to shut this thing down. I said that we were okay, we're good to go. Yo, seriously. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for listening. And please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.